Have a worship song tonight. I got here a little bit later than I wanted to, but we are going to start our Bible study, and this is the third part on the prophecies in the book of Daniel, and we'll be using Daniel plus some other scriptures. And I want to say something before I start, because I'm going to say some new things tonight. So when it comes to prophecy and scripture to do with prophecy, it's not salvation. Does everyone understand that? It's not salvation. We know what salvation is. Salvation is what happened on Sunday when someone spoke in tongues and was born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. That's salvation. You know, but understanding prophecy or what's going to happen, that's a good thing. That's an added blessing. But if you don't quite see it the way I'm teaching it, that's okay. You don't have to agree with me on that, because that's my understanding of it. So I'm going to be teaching some things tonight that I've never taught before, that a little bit maybe different to what you've heard. So I'm looking forward to it. I believe the Lord dealt with me, and I put a lot of effort into teaching this tonight. And I thought we would get through the book of Daniel this week, but we just probably won't. So we will probably do one more week of that. And Sunday, of course, we'll be starting our new theme, which is Fruit of the Spirit, for our adult Sunday school. And I'll be teaching on Tuesday next the last part of the book of Daniel. So now I'm going to start off a little bit different from what you might expect. You see, how can we do this? Okay. Everyone can see that, but this is not working at the moment. Hold on one moment. Amen. But as I said, someone called me with a great praise report today, and I was just so happy for them that the Lord had worked on their behalf. And I'm not going to tell their testimony. They'll just have to come Sunday and tell it. Okay, our focus scripture is Daniel chapter 10, verse 14. And it says, I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. This was the angel Gabriel who came to Daniel after he'd been praying for a while to get understanding of the visions and his dreams. But before we go to that, Daniel, I need to lay some groundwork. And you will think, well, where's he going with this? But I want to give you some keys to understanding something that we don't pay a lot of attention to. I've taught many times, and I mentioned it Sunday, that when the veil on the temple rent in two, what happened? What was on the veil? The cherubims. And the splitting of the veil symbolized what? That's right, the end of the angelic reign. But what I want to point out, that is not the end of their total job. All it meant was that they were no longer the mediators between God and man. They had no role in salvation. But that does not mean that they have no role. And I could have titled this All About Angels tonight, but it's not really. But what I want to point out before we really get into Daniel is that the only role that was finished was their mediation. They no longer are involved in salvation. But they still have a powerful role. They still have a very powerful role. They are still there for a purpose. Psalms 91, verse 11. This was the scripture that Satan came back to Jesus with, right? For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. What does that mean? It means the angels still have a role. That's what it means. They're not there to save you as far as salvation, but if you are a child of God, they're there to protect you. They still have a very important role. In fact, we speak about the Holy Spirit protecting us, and the Holy Spirit does protect us. But if you really start to look both Old and New Testament, the angelic role is one of guardianship, one of fighting. When it comes to fighting a war, who is the ones that actually do the fighting? The Bible speaks of God in the Old Testament as the Lord of hosts. That's a Hebrew word, Lord of Sabaoth, and it means the army of heaven. So anytime in Scripture or anytime God is going to fight a battle, the angels participate. Remember what Jesus said in the garden. He said, if I wanted to, I could do what? I could call presently 12 legions of angels if he wanted to fight. So one of the things that we have, I don't know if say forgotten, but not really looked into is the fact that when it comes to war, when it comes to spiritual warfare, the angels are still involved. Christopher didn't know I was going to ask him to do this, but a few years ago, he got invited to go and preach on a Navajo reservation, right, out in Arizona. And he was kind of young at the time, so I said, I'm not going to let you go all the way out there by yourself. I'm going with you. But when we went out there to preach, we came across a young man who had been in gangs. And he had been sentenced. He came before the judge, and he'd been sentenced. He was going to get 6 months in jail, or he could go to youth camp for 6 weeks. So, of course, he thought, well, this is going to be easy. I'll go to the youth camp. But, of course, when he went to the youth camp, he got saved. He got saved. And now he's out of the youth camp, and he's going back to high school, and he realizes he can't be in the gang anymore. But this was a very serious gang. They had adults and they had high schoolers, and it was the kind of gang, the only way you got out of it was you died. You either died for the gang or the gang killed you, was his testimony. Do you remember the rest of the testimony, Chris? Could you share it while I listen, because I know you'll be able to tell it much better.
So they had met with him. Basically saying, you know, they wanted to have a meeting with him. They'd found out he had changed. He wanted to leave the gang and everything. And so what happened, they invited him to a certain spot to come, and he didn't know what to do. And so he went to this particular spot where the gang was. And when he showed up there, the whole gang was there. They had bats, they had clubs, they had chains, and they were about to just beat him to death. And as he was walking towards them, they started to back away. And he's like, okay, you know, they started to back away. They kind of stopped, and then they turned around, they took off running. And he's like, well, that's kind of strange. And so later on, one of his friends that was also in the gang met up with him and said, who are those guys that were with you? Like, what do you mean? What guys? Like, there was these big, like, 9-foot-tall guys that had flaming swords and had fire coming out of their eyes that were behind you. And every time you walked forward, they walked with you. I was like, I don't know about it. They weren't my guys. They weren't with me. You know, well, they were. That's why I ran away. It's like, who are those guys? And then he put two and two together that they were the angels. And he led that other gang member to Christ. He took him right into, a closet or something and prayed with him and brought him to salvation. So that's pretty much the story.
So this went on for a while. It took several days before the gang realized they couldn't get him. Because every time they came around him, they saw he was protected. So what I want to try and tell you tonight is you have to understand, and something that we've not really talked about much, angels still have a role. Angels still have a role. A few years ago, I had a really serious accident. And I've told you before, I was on 94 coming back from Detroit, and it had rained. But it had stopped raining, so I thought it was okay. And I ran into about 2 inches of water on I-94 where the median is a concrete barrier. And the car started to fishtail, and there was nothing I could do about it. It just kept on getting worse. And I was in the high-speed lane, and then finally, the last one, it just went slammed at least 55 miles an hour straight into the concrete wall. And I know Jesus saved me is what it came down to. I know when my family came and saw the car, they couldn't believe that there was nothing wrong with it because it was squashed pretty flat. But that wasn't the worst of it, because I was in the fast lane, and right behind me, somehow there was semis. I don't know in the flesh how they never hit me. But almost immediately the crash happened. There was a man. Within seconds, there was a man standing at the door. And he said, are you okay? And he got me out the car. before anything else happened. And then he disappeared. What I want to tell you is, when you're a child of the King, there are some keys to understanding Scripture. And one is that when it comes to fighting spiritual warfare, we have some help. It's not just the Holy Spirit, but we actually have some help. Amen. Psalms 103, verse 20 says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength." What are they for? It says that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. When God wants to get something done, if it's fighting or anything like that, you know who he's going to use? His angels. Sometimes we misapply what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? That's right. It says that if this same Spirit that dwell in you, it shall do what? The Holy Spirit is there to make you a son of God. The Holy Spirit is not so much for you personally to fight. God has provided the angels for that. As in the testimony of that young man, he came out of school every night and the gang had to disappear. They had to back off because he was just always surrounded. The Bible says he encampeth around them that what? Fear him. So the keys to understanding tonight what I'm going to teach is, you have to understand that the angels still have a very big role. Matthew 18:10. I quoted this Sunday, but I didn't actually give you the scripture. Jesus makes that clear, even in the New Testament. Beware that you don't look down. This is a modern translation. Beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones. You know why? Their angel is always beholding my face. Do you know if you're a child of the King, you've got a personal angel that is there just to look after you? That's what Psalm said. He shall give his angels charge over thee. I had an angel looking after me that time. The other time I told you about, I was down in Florida trying to get to the airport, and there comes a car. I'm going 70, and this car is going 70, and he comes straight across the median, straight at me. I mean, there was just no time to do nothing. I really thought that was it. But at the last minute, something pushed him out the way. And I looked back, and he's beside me, not at me. I didn't see anything, but I know that the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. The angels still have a role. In fact, they're going to be involved in the rapture. Mark 13:27, "And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the utmost parts of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven." Anyone know why it said also heaven? It said the uttermost parts of the earth, but it also said the uttermost parts of heaven. You know why? It's because of those that have already died. They're already in heaven. But we're all going to be come together. It says he shall send his angels. So I'm trying to give you some keys tonight to what I'm about to teach. So you have to understand that there are angels around us all the time. You may not see them right now, but you have an angel. If you are a born-again believer, you have a guardian spirit. It says, "For I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence." Isn't that great to know? That you only have to say Jesus, and he's going to send a messenger right away. He has got a guardian for you. You have a question, Sister Taro? The three levels? Okay. Well, when it says in the New Testament about the three levels, it's speaking about the atmospheric heaven, that what we can see, okay? The stars, which is above the atmosphere, and then the third heaven is where God dwells. Those are the three levels. Unlike what the Quran says, which just speaks about seven levels, there is no such mention in the Bible. But the three levels are the atmospheric heavens, the cosmos where the planets and the stars are, and the third is actually God's dwelling place. So let's go on. Now, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Because I want to show you something that is going to be related to Daniel, which we're teaching. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. Now, the reason why I read that scripture is because in heaven, the sacrifice that's going on is a sacrifice of praise. Is a sacrifice of praise. In heaven, there is a continual sacrifice of praise and worship. That's what Isaiah saw. He saw the cherubims, and all they were doing was continually worshiping. That is actually reinforced again in Revelation. When John has his vision of heaven, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not, they never stop, day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. So what I'm trying to tell you is, and I'm laying some breadcrumbs here, is that in heaven, the sacrifice is one of praise, continual worship. From the created beings, the angels that are around the throne, that is their role. They are worshiping the King of Kings. Hebrews 13:15 says, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. God is not looking for bulls and goats. Those can't do it anymore. Or goats or turtle doves. But when we come into his presence, the Bible says, enter into his gates with what? Amen. When we come with thanksgiving and praise, to me, that's the highest form of prayer. When you just worship God, you don't even have to ask. Remember, he already knows what you need. Did you know that? You can't surprise God. You're not telling him anything new. But the sacrifice, as it says here, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Sister. Well, I think he got mad for many reasons, which we're going to look at a little bit of them tonight. So hold that question, okay? So what I'm trying to show you so far is that in heaven, the sacrifice, the service that's going on is one of praise and worship and of thanksgiving. Amen. So getting to your point, your very point, Satan, of course, didn't want that. He doesn't like that. We jump to chapter 12 of Revelation, which is the one in which the war begins. And in Revelation 12:3, it says, And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. Now, I want you to look at verse 4. It says, And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what I think it means, and which we will see when we go back to the book of Daniel. Satan was or is able to put up quite a good fight. He is able to battle some of the lower beings. We see that in the book of Daniel, where the messenger that was sent first to Daniel couldn't get through, could he? He was held up until he asked for help. If he hadn't asked for help, he would have been there the whole time, sister. That's exactly what I'm saying. That his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, it could mean he did it by deceit. It could mean he did it by force. But it does mean that he did it somehow. Okay? So he did cast them to the earth. He said in Ezekiel, I think it says, I will ascend, I will be like the Most High. And we'll get to that scripture. So going back now to Revelation chapter 12, I want to show you something. To Daniel, which is our focus scripture, Daniel 8, 9, and 10. Daniel chapter 8, 9, and 10. And last week we did all of the, you know, the lead up to this where we described the four beasts. And I said that that was literally fulfilled by a type of a Greek king whose name was Antiochus Epiphanes, And his name means, remember what his name means? What did he call himself? Epiphanes means God manifest. He claimed the title of God. And he had a statue to himself put on the temple. And he had a pig sacrificed on the temple. He was the very type, stereotype of the coming Antichrist. Now, here we have a parallel. Remember what Revelation said. And he drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the ground. When we go to Daniel, we see the same thing in quite an amazing scripture here. Daniel 8:9, and out of one of them came forth the little horn, which waxed exceeding great towards the south, towards the east, towards the pleasant land. It waxed great. Now look at what this says. Even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. So that doesn't sound too friendly, does it? No. Now this is an amazing scripture. Why would God let him do that? Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him, what does it say? The daily sacrifice was taken away. Remember what I said the daily sacrifice is? What is it? Worship, praise. It says, yes, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away. And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Why? How could God allow that? And why would God allow that? Let's look at this. The proof of it that is going to happen is in Revelation 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, suddenly, what does it say? There was silence in heaven. The sacrifice is what? Praise and worship. And yet here suddenly in heaven, we see silence for the first time ever because the other scriptures I showed you said that they don't cease day or night doing what? Praising and worshiping. But here in Revelation, as we coming up to the war, we see Satan does achieve something. He is able to do what was prophesied in the book of Daniel. He's able, if we go back to there, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away. Satan wants right now to do what to you? Stop your praise. Because it's through your praise you're going to get the victory. He wants to take away that sacrifice of praise. Because you don't need money to praise God. You don't even need food to praise God. All you need is to have a heart of worship. He wants to stop your praise. He's starting from now to try and take away your praise. That's what his whole aim is. Yea, he magnified himself to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice, the continual worship, was taken away. Because in heaven, suddenly it says there was silence in heaven. Of course, it wasn't forever. In the book of Revelation, it says for about the space of half an hour. Going back to Daniel, in a New Living Translation, I'm going to read the same thing. It's power, so to make sure that you clearly understand what the scripture is saying, its power reached to the heavens, where it attacked the heavenly army, throwing some of the heavenly beings and some of the stars to the ground. A lot of people didn't know that was in their Bible, but it is. Trampling them. It even challenged the commander of heaven's army by canceling the daily sacrifices offered to him and by destroying his temple. And then something strange is written in the Bible. It says, well, I'll get to that. Let's go back to Satan. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's his plan. See, what we're reading about in Daniel is a future attempt for him to try and fulfill this. When everything has come to the closed, coming to the end, when God's plan is bringing everything to fruition, he will attempt to make himself God. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. How is he going to do that? By throwing the stars of God down. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. It says, I will ascend into above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He says, I will. And we contrast that with what Jesus said. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. So we see what his plan is. And we see that it's prophesied amazingly, that God is going to allow him for a season to do that. Now, can you imagine what the angels in heaven want to do when they see this happening? They want to fight. But the command was no. The army of heaven, verse 12, was restrained from responding to this rebellion. So the daily sacrifice was halted and truth was overthrown. The horn succeeded in everything it did. See, God has actually a plan. This is almost the same as how he allowed Israel, the 70 that went out of Canaan down into Egypt, so that in Canaan could be concentrated all of the idol worshippers, all of the false gods, so that when they came back, they didn't come back as 70. They came back as more than 2 million. And their charge was to purge the land. See, God has a plan in this. And he said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not. You know, we would have said, well, why, God, are you allowing this to happen? But God has a plan. Amen. So the army of heaven was restrained. And I've got that in blue because that word restrained we find somewhere else. From responding to this rebellion. So for a while, Satan is going to have a great old time on this earth. He's going to be able to wreck the place. He knows he's been given the eviction order. He knows his time is short. So he's going to try and wreck the place. Amen. So now we're going to look at that word, the restrainer. Because it says the army of heaven was restrained from responding to this rebellion. 2 Thessalonians 2:5, you'll all remember this scripture. Paul here is writing to the Thessalonians and telling them, don't be scared that the rapture has happened yet, because certain things have to happen before that happens. Don't you remember, and this is in a modern translation so that you can get the gist, don't you remember I told you about all of this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back. For he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly. And it will remain secret until the one who is holding him back steps out of the way. Now in the Greek, the word is again restrainer. Restrainer. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth. We talked about that Sunday, right? We talked about that Sunday in Sunday school about the word of the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Which is the word of God. Amen. With the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. So now if we start to look at some of these scriptures, certain things start to look like they could fit together. And I want to show you this. Let's jump back now to Daniel. And we'll see a revelation here. Daniel chapter 10. When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time I had eaten no rich food, no meal, or wine crossed my lips. And I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. And on April the 23rd, this is in the New Living Translation, and they've taken the dates and put them into English. On April the 23rd, I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River. I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze. And his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. Then I heard the man speak. And when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. This is where I think the King James Version is better. It says, Daniel, beloved. We're more than precious. We are his beloved. Listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up still trembling. Then he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." Okay, so what is going on here? Spiritual warfare. That's what's going on. Spiritual warfare is going on. The angel with the message could not get through because he was held up by one of the fallen angels, a spirit prince of Persia, and he couldn't get through till he got some help. And he left the other angel, the archangel there, holding back this spirit prince because he still didn't want the message to get through to Daniel. In other words, this other angel was acting as a restrainer. He was restraining the forces that wanted to destroy God's plan. I'll read it again. "The spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." That means there was a fight going on. He was restraining him from changing God's plan. Do you know the devil would like to get at you? If God could just crack the dimensions a little bit, we would see all kinds of scary things going on around us. There are real spiritual battles going on right now for your soul. And the direction it goes has a lot to do with what you decide to do. We see that in the Old Testament, when Moses had his hands lifted up, Israel was winning the battle. As soon as he couldn't worship anymore and his hands started to fall, they started to lose the battle. I'm telling you that what God wants us to do is not let Satan take away our sacrifices of praise. Amen. You can strengthen the angel who is fighting on your behalf by start worshiping God, by giving him praise. "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." That's what Job said. Though he got all this bad news, though things were going bad in his life, the Bible said in all this, Job did not lose his integrity. When we get to the point where we're going to say, "Though he slay me, though it don't look like God is on my side, though it looks like everything is going wrong, I'm still going to serve him." You're empowering your angel. That's what you're doing. Huh? You're empowering your angel. So we see that Michael, in this case, acted as a restrainer for the prince of Persia. He was stopping Satan doing what he wanted to do, which was block the messenger from God. As I taught on Sunday, most of us, we get mad at people, but we're really not wrestling that person or that situation. The Bible tells us that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. And it's time for us to wake up and understand that there are spiritual battles going on over your soul right now. Amen. And we need to be aware of that. He replied, jumping down to verse 20, he replied, "Do you know why I have come? Soon I must return and do what? To fight." There are spiritual battles going on against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. And after that, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece will come. These fallen angelic beings are also battling amongst themselves. And whichever one wins, that country, that nation that they represent is in the ascendancy. And we saw in the last week with the dreams that the next kingdom that was going to arise was going to be the kingdom of Greece. Meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one helps me against these spirit princes except Michael, your prince. Your spirit prince. Israel had a prince, an angelic being, who fought for them. And in scripture, his name is Michael. But we can see this going all the way back to them coming out of Egypt. Exodus 23:20. As they were coming out of Egypt, God said to them, "Behold, I'm going to send an angel before thee to keep thee." That's exactly what it says in Psalms 91, right? "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Jumping down to what I've got in blue, it says, "For my name is in him." And when you look at the meaning of the name Michael, It's really three Hebrew syllables, and it means who is like God. Mikael, who is like God. And he was the being charged with fighting for Israel. He is, in Scripture, the commander of the host. We see him not called out by name in Joshua 5, when Joshua comes across this being with the sword drawn. And he says, who are you? He says, as commander of the host of heaven, have I come. Anytime we have to fight spiritually, it's not only just the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there for our personal covering. But really, when we're fighting demonic forces, it is our angel that is going to be called upon to fight. You will see every time in Scripture, when there is a fight, it's an angelic being that does the fighting. When God wanted to destroy the Assyrians who surrounded Jerusalem, it was one angel that went out and destroyed 180,000 that night. And we see that goes all the way through to Revelation. The army of heaven was restrained. God said, not yet. So the daily sacrifice was halted. Truth was overthrown. The horn succeeded in everything it did. The world is getting just totally weird now. You all saw that Bruce Jenner picture, did you? Truth is being overthrown. He actually is doing so much for the accepted. That's going to be now very accepted that that's okay. Truth was overthrown. The Bible predicts that the horn succeeded in everything it did for a while. For a while. Because God has a plan. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's setting a little trap here. That's what's going on if you don't realize it. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. Now, this is not the church. This is who is ever left after the church is gone. But whosoever left, because the restrainer has gone, it says, and prevailed against them. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. Again, this is not the church. The Bible said he has not appointed us to wrath. Amen. We want to be the Philadelphian church. It says, because you've had a little strength, I am going to keep you. I'm going to keep you. Let's say it again. I'm going to keep you from the hour of tribulation that is going to come to try all of them that dwell on the earth. So if it's all of them that dwell on the earth, that means you're not on the earth. Amen. We want to be the Philadelphian church. But there will be people on the earth, and they're going to have to be ready to die for the name of Christ, because he is going to have the power to kill. It says all who would not have the mark of the beast, he was going to behead. We see that kind of starting already in the Middle East. And at that time, let's go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael, now the way it reads in Daniel 12, it's a little bit strange, and I'm going to explain this. I've been leading up to this point. And at that time, it's speaking the time of the end, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Then it starts to describe the tribulation. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time, and it shall, at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, it's kind of strange. It's kind of strange because it says, Michael, who fights for them, the way it's written, shall stand up. But yet, it goes on to say, there's going to be a time such as never was. It's going to be so horrible. And at first, that doesn't seem to gel, because if Michael is standing up for Israel, how can it be that there's going to be such a time of persecution and trouble as never was? Well, I'm going to try and explain it to you with a sentence. How would you read that sentence? Someone say it loud. Will you wind up the hose? So how would you pronounce that other sentence? Will you wind blue? Will you wind blue in the trees? Well, why? Why are you pronouncing it differently? They're both spelled the same. Context. Context. It's the same word, but it means something completely different. And you pronounce it even differently. And the way you know it is because of the context. One says you pronounce it wind. The other one, you pronounce it wind. And the only way you know that is because of the context. And what I'm trying to say to you is Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, the way they've translated it is not quite in context. Here it is with the Strong's and with the Hebrew underneath. At that time, it says, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. But remember now, in Daniel 8, we were told that the army of heaven was what? Restrained. So how come he's standing up and then there's such a bad time afterwards if he is standing up? Well, the answer is that the translation is not quite in context. If you actually look at the, and I hope you can read it there, the word Amad, which is translated stand up, also means to stand still, stop moving, or cease doing. And the proper translation is at that time, Michael, who has been standing up for Israel, is going to be moved out the way. That is who the restrainer is. That is who the restrainer is. To stand still, to cease, to stop. Then when you put it in the scripture, now everything makes sense. And at that time shall Michael stand aside, the great prince which standeth for the people. And there will now be a time of trouble, such as never was, because he's no longer defending Israel. Do you understand? Now when you go back to Thessalonians, you begin to understand why Paul did not say, he that restraineth shall, he didn't say the Holy Spirit. He just said, he who restrains shall restrain till he be moved out the way. He was not speaking about the Holy Spirit. He was speaking about the angelic being that stands up for Israel. But you know, the good news is the reason why he's standing out of the way. Go ahead, sisters. That's what I'm saying. That is the Jews. He is going to stand out the way. You see, I gave you the two English lines to show you, to make you understand that you can have the same word that's even pronounced a different way, and the only way you know it is you have to truly understand the full context. And really, that word that is used for Michael shall stand up, the other meaning of it is stand still or cease or stand aside. And if you use it that way, then everything starts to make sense. That's right. Yes, it's the time of the tribulation. But you see, it says here, and at that time shall Michael, really, it means cease protecting. He is going to be restrained. That's what we've been hearing all the time from all of the scriptures. The great prince which standeth for the children of people, and then there shall be a time of trouble such as never. Do you understand why Israel is surviving right now? If you've ever read any records of the Six-Day War or the 73 War, it's totally miraculous. They had tens of thousands attacking them on three sides, and they lost almost nothing. They did it in 6 days. It's only way that could have happened is someone was fighting for them. They destroyed hundreds of attacking jets. They lost like two or three. That kind of war never happens anymore unless there is angelic help. But there is coming a time, which is prophesied, that there's going to be a time of trouble such as never was. And the reason for it is because he that restraineth, remember, the angel said, I've left Michael, and he's fighting against the kingdom of where? Who is saying that they're going to destroy Israel today? Isn't it Persia? Isn't it those people? He is restraining them. He said, I've left them there. I've left him there because he's stopping them. But what it's really saying and what Thessalonians was saying is, he's going to be restrained. That's what it said in Daniel 8, that the army of heaven, the commander, was restrained because God has a plan. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that same time, and at that time, that people shall be delivered. It's going to be for a short time. But it's the way God is going to make Israel realize who is truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's when they are surrounded, when there's no more Michael to help them, that they're going to realize who is really their Savior. Amen. Sister. That's at the end of the 3.5 years, but it will be the thing that will push them to that. That's 2 Thessalonians 7. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly. The reason why we don't see it is because hidden to our natural eyes, there's spiritual warfare going on. God has got all of Satan's angels tied up right now. They can't do what they would like to do because there's still one more soul to be saved. There's still one more baptism to be had. There's still one more soul that you need to witness to. There's still someone you need to go to pray for. God has just got them tied up right now. But at some point, he's going to say, Michael, back out the way. But the good thing is, the reason why he's backing out the way, if you read 2 Thessalonians, it says, for this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. And the reason why he didn't say Holy Spirit, because it's God works through different manifestations. In the church, he is the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to fighting, the Holy Spirit is not what he uses to fight. It's his messengers. It's his warriors. That's who he sends. That's why in Revelation, you see the army that's coming out of heaven is led by the word of God, and it's the angels that are coming to fight. Amen. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly. Now, the reason why Michael has moved out the way is also the good reason. You know what's happened why he's moved out the way? Because the rapture's happened. He doesn't have to. Satan can't get to us. The reason why he's there is to stop the demonic forces. But once he's moved out the way, it's because the rapture has happened. The reason the restrainer is removed is because the church has gone. And the reason is he wants to make sure that all of the demons, all of the fallen beings, all of the rebellious, the earth is going to become a prison camp. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones, all those spiritual princes that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners. He's going to take us out of here because the wrath of God is going to be poured out on the earth without measure. That's what it says. And shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. You see, the reason why the restrainer is moved out the way is to reveal and to let Satan really take his mask off. Then we will really see who is the Antichrist. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. The reason why we can't see truly what Satan wants to do right now is because the Lord, the angelic force, is stopping it. They're stopping it. That's what's happened. We can't see it, but there is spiritual warfare going on all around you. That's what Paul was trying to say. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to pray as much as we can, because Satan is after you. When you hold up your hand in worship, you are helping your angelic guardian. That's what you're doing. You are saying, go for it. I'm behind you 100%. Amen. That's why we need to worship, because the thing he wants to do is to take away the daily sacrifice. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the brightness of his coming. Well, how long is this going to be? How much more do we have to wait? Then I heard two holy ones talking to each other. One of them asked, how long will the events of this vision last? How long will the rebellion that causes desecration stop the daily sacrifices? How long will the temple and heaven's army be trampled on? The other replied, it will take 2,300 evenings and mornings. Then the temple will be made right again. Now, many people have tried to interpret that number. I think this is the Seventh-day Adventists. They took the 2,300 to mean 2,300 years. And they tried to calculate from the time the earthly temple sacrifices were stopped. Sir Isaac Newton tried to do the same thing. But really, and I'm not an expert, but really what that is speaking about the morning and the evening sacrifice. That's why it says 2,300 evenings. And if you divide that number in two, which would be one day, an evening and a morning, what you get is about 3.5 years. What it's telling us is that Satan is going to be allowed for 3.5 years to do what he wants to do. But then the Lord is going to show up. Amen. He is going to show up. The chains will be off the angels. And the Bible says that he will lead the army of heaven. And then one day, it says the angel will put one foot on the sand, one foot on the sea, and say, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. Amen. That's the end of the book. Please stand. Amen. I'm not going any further tonight. Same time, same channel next week. I'm not done, but I'm done for tonight. Amen. It's 8 o'clock, 1 hour. We did a great job. Amen. I hope you learned something tonight.